This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, I want to stop here. That, friends, is one of the most humble statements ever written. You say, why? He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and I'm a brother of James. He forgets to mention one thing. He's the half-brother of Jesus. We say, wait a minute. Jesus had brothers? Yes. Jesus had brothers and sisters. They're talked about in the Bible.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue with our series called What on Earth Am I Here For? This is part one of a message called Called to Be Loved, taken from various portions of Scripture. But right before today's message, as you may know, Pastor Rick is always teaching that the Bible says you are not an accident and that you are alive because God wanted to create you and He has a purpose for your life. Rick says that you will only be fulfilled when you discover and live out God's purposes for your life. Now, because of this, he wants us to send you his newly expanded version of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? This recently revised and upgraded book is packed with 30 additional hours of teaching, including quick links for video chapter introductions, audio lessons, and two brand new chapters. This book will help you discover God's plan for your life. Now, we'll send you a hardback copy of this life-changing book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope Ministries. Call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org today for your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Or you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's daily to 313131. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Now, to understand your life purpose and understand your life calling, you have to begin with God, because God created you. And you can't tell yourself what your purpose is. Only your Creator can tell you what your purpose is. And your purpose, your calling in life, actually begins in the nature of God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is love. We have talked about this so many times, that God doesn't have love. God doesn't just show love. God is love. Love is the nature, the character, the essence of God. There would be no love in the universe if it weren't for the fact that God is love. The only reason you're able to love, the only reason you're able to give it and receive love, is because God, who is the God of love, made you in His image. Ants can't love. Snails can't love. Cows can't love. But human beings love because we're made in the image of God. Now, the Bible says that everything in the universe was created so God could love it. God has never made anything He doesn't love. He loves every rock, every tree, every plant, every animal, every human being. God has never made anything He doesn't love. So if you're alive, it means God loves you. And you were created as an object of God's love. We talked about this in 40 Days of Purpose. But this time, in this campaign, we're going to go much deeper in understanding the love of God. That the reason why God made you and He made you to love you is so that you could experience that love and He could express that love. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1, there on your outline. Long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us. Whoa, let me just stop right there. Before God even created the universe, He had already chosen you and loved you. He made the universe so He could make earth, so He could make the human race, so He could make you, so He could love you. If God hadn't wanted to love you, all the other stuff wouldn't have happened. It says, before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been, from the very beginning of time, to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave Him, this plan to have a family. God wanted a family and He wanted you to be a part of it. And the reason the universe exists is because God wanted a family. It was all made so we could be made, so we could be loved. And he says, and this plan gave him, read it with me, great pleasure. Circle that, great pleasure. Now, you remember when you read Purpose-Driven Life, the Bible says you are planned for God's pleasure. And the reason you're alive is that God made you to love you. Now, that's all background. We all know that. In this series, when we look at the five callings of God, and the word calling is used far more than purpose in the Bible. When we look at God's calling on your life, we're talking about God's assignment, God's purpose for your life, God's reasons for creating you. I want you to write this down. The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. The first purpose of my life, the first reason you were created, is to be loved by God. God made you to love you. Now, let that sink in a little bit. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. No, no. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Why am I alive? Does my life really matter? Why am I here? We've all asked these critical questions. And now, Pastor Rick Warren answers them in the upgraded edition of his New York Times bestselling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? This book includes two new chapters on how to overcome the biggest barriers to living your life on purpose, as well as links to video chapter introductions and audio lessons. Rick wants you to live a life of purpose and meaning. That's why he wants to send you a copy of this life-changing hardback book. It's our gift to say thanks for your financial support. Stop guessing why you're here. Learn to live life on purpose with The Purpose-Driven Life. What on Earth Am I Here For? Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004, or rickwarren.org. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
The first reason you were created is to be loved by God. God made you to love you. Now, let that sink in a little bit. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. No, no. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you. God didn't create you first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. Now, if you understand this revolutionary truth, and most of you have never really got this, it's going to transform your life. That my number one purpose in life is not to do something for God. It's to receive something from God, to get His love, because I was made to be a receptacle, a receiver, a benefactor of God's love. Let that sink in. Let me say it again, because I don't want you to get this. Your first duty in life is not to do something. It's not to learn. It's not to listen. It's not to pray. It's not to give. It's not to sacrifice. It's not to serve. It's not all, those are all good things, but they're not the first thing God created you to do. He created you to accept, to receive His love, to just let God love you. That's the first purpose of life, to be loved by God. Now, this is taught all through the scripture. In the book of Jude, and I always like to mention these little books that nobody ever reads. The book of Jude is a very short book. It's only one chapter, 25 verses. It's the second to the last book in the Bible, right before Revelation. And I always like to mention these because when you get to heaven, I don't want my people to be embarrassed in heaven. And when Jude comes up to you and says, hey, how'd you like my book? I don't want you to go, oh, Mr. Jude, I didn't even know you were in the Bible. No, when he walks around, you go, hey, Jude. Loved your book. Loved that book. Really good. In fact, one of my favorites because it was only 25 verses. You could memorize the book of Jude. Now, very short book, but a lot of profound truth in it. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, I want to stop here. That, friends, is one of the most humble statements ever written. You say, why? He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I'm a brother of James. He forgets to mention one thing. He's the half-brother of Jesus. We say, wait a minute. Jesus had brothers? Yes. Jesus had brothers and sisters. They're talked about in the Bible. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, she was a virgin. That was a miraculous birth because God was the father of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had many other children. They're mentioned in the Bible. One of them's named James. One of them's named Jude. Jesus had half-sisters. And they often came to see him speak, watched him do miracles. The interesting thing about Jesus' brothers and sisters, none of them became followers of Jesus until after Jesus died on the cross and then rose again from the dead. And when they saw him resurrected from the dead, it was like, he's back. And that made a believer even his brothers and sisters. They go, he was who he claimed to be. They watched him die, and they watched him come back to life. And it was only after that happened, they became followers of Jesus Christ. And Jude and James actually became leaders. I mean, now, can you imagine how difficult it would be growing up with Jesus as your brother? I mean, every time you're fighting over or getting upset over something, and you go to mom, Mary, and you say, now, mom, and he did it. And she said, now, Jude, your brother is Jesus. Who's really at fault here? I mean, like, how difficult would it be to have a perfect brother? Now, how many of you grew up that your parents thought your brother was perfect? Yeah. But this one really was perfect. Okay, really was. He was always right. So I think I probably would have grown up with a little grudge on a chip on my shoulder and not wanting to believe he was who he claimed he would be. I think I'd feel that way. Like, come on, I grew up with him. I played stickball with him. But in Jude, it says this. This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. If anybody could have been the ultimate name dropper, it would have been this guy. Okay, but he says, I'm just a servant of Jesus and a brother of James. Didn't even mention that thing. And I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father. Circle the word called. And what am I called to do? I'm called to live in the love of God. The love of God the Father and in the care of Jesus Christ. Now, if the first purpose of my life is to be loved by God, my first calling is this. I'm called to enjoy a relationship with God. Write that one down. My purpose is to let God love me. My calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. I'm called to live in the love of God. It's a relationship. What I'm saying to you, this is so fundamental, is that the number one calling in your life is not to a role, it's not to a responsibility, it's not to a bunch of rules, it's not to regulations, it's not to ritual, it's not to religion, it's to a relationship. Now this is going to surprise some of you. Christianity is not a religion. People try to make it a religion. They try to make it about rules and regulations and rituals, but it's not about it. Jesus said it's about a relationship. God sent Christ so you could have a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship to God, because God is love and he wants you to learn to experience his love. Now, what kind of relationship does God want you to have with him? Does God want you to be his slave? No. Does God want you to be his servant? No. Does God want you to be his soldier and fight his battles for right and wrong in the world? No. Does God want you to be his warrior? No. Does God want you to be his worker? No. Does God want you to be his employee? No. Does God want you to be his minions? No. God wants you to be his son or his daughter. He wants you in his family. Here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 1. Dear friends in Rome, this is Paul writing, God loves you dearly. Circle that word dearly. God loves you dearly. And he has called you, there's that word, here's the calling of God. He has called you to be his very own people. So here are the three fundamental truths of everything we're doing in this campaign. The first purpose is to be loved by God. That's my first purpose. My first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. And number three, that relationship that God wants me to have is to be his son or daughter. The relationship God created you for is to be his son or his daughter. Now that is the most amazing truth you will ever hear in your life. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, doesn't want you to be a slave, servant, soldier, but his son and his daughter and his child. God wants a family to love, and he wants you in it. Here's what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 3. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. I love that in the Amplified. We're named the children of God. We're called the children of God. We're counted the children of God because we are the children of God. This is your number one calling in life. Your number one purpose in life is not to accomplish something. Your number one purpose in life is not to make something of yourself. Your number one purpose in life is not to make a lot of money, to be famous, to have a lot of fun. Your number one purpose in life, God created you and called you to be loved by him, to experience that love. And most people have never truly experienced the love of God. Oh, they've heard about it. Everybody here said, oh, God loves you. Yeah, yeah, I know, God loves me. The very fact that you're bored by that means you don't get it. Because if you got it, you would be so excited about it. You've never experienced it. You've heard it in your head, but you don't have it in your heart. And a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because they got it here and they don't got it here. They don't have it here. You've got to experience God's love in your life. He says, we're named and called and counted the children of God. Now, why in the world would God do that? In order to express his love. And God's love is extravagant, and God's love is lavish, and God's love is beyond comprehension. And as I've said so many times, he loves you on your good days and bad days, when you feel it and don't feel it, when you think you deserve it, when you don't think you deserve it. You can't make God stop loving you. God will never love you any more than he does this second. God will never love you any less than he does this second. Because God's love is not based on who you are or what you do. It's based on who he is. God is love. So I'll say it again because I want you to get it. Your number one calling in life is not to do something, to impress God with what you do. Your number one calling in life is to receive something, to let God love you. Now the Bible says this in Ephesians 3. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust. In other words, that you get more and more comfortable with God, with Jesus in your life. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Your life needs to be rooted in the love of God. And he says, and may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide and how high, along, and how high, and how deep his love really is. And may you experience the love of Christ. Not just know it. Circle the word experience. God says, I want you to feel loved. I don't want you to know your love. I want you to feel it. I want you to feel it in every fiber of your life. May you experience emotionally the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. As I've said, it's like an ant trying to understand the internet. Your brain doesn't have the capacity to understand how much God loves you. Now, the Bible says that part of your calling is to understand how wide, long, high, and deep God's love for you is. So let me explain it to you. Write this down. How wide is God's love? Well, write this down. It's wide enough to be everywhere. That's how wide it is. There is no place on this planet that God's love isn't. There's no place in the universe that God's love isn't. It's in the bar where a bunch of people are drunk. It's in the barrio, the slum, the favela, the ghetto. It's in the place of the poorest of the poor. It's in every place. There is no place where God's love is not. You say, well, I don't see it there. Well, that doesn't mean it's not there. There are a lot of things you can't see that are real, that are reality. You just can't see them. For instance, right now, through this airwave, there are radio waves going through this air between me and you. Actually, these radio waves are going through your body right now, and they carry music. And there are television waves right now going through the air that are carrying colored pictures. You can't see them and you can't hear them unless you have a receiver and you are tuned in. We can't see God here right now. You don't see him. But he's here. He's real. And if you tune in, you'll experience it. If you get on God's wavelength, you will experience his love. You will know he is as real as I am standing here today. But you gotta tune in. And just because you can't feel him or see him right now doesn't mean he's not there. You can't see those radio waves. There are a lot of stuff that you can't see.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
One of the things that I've discovered is that everybody eventually asks the questions of significance. Why am I here? And what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? That's why 10 years ago, I wrote the book, Purpose Driven Life. Because I wanted to help people like you understand how God created us for 5 eternal purposes. The Bible says that long before we heard of Christ, he had his eye on us, had his designs on us for glorious living, that it was part of his overall purpose that he's working out in everything and everyone. God has never made a person that he doesn't have a purpose for. You know, that simple message needs to be shared with a whole new generation. A young girl who was 12 years old when I wrote Purpose Driven Life is now 22. And she needs to hear this essential message that God has a plan, has a purpose, and has a reason for everything that happens in our lives. So I've updated the Purpose Driven Life. And what I did is after reading hundreds of thousands of comments that have come into me over the past decade, I've added 2 new chapters that'll help you handle the 2 most common problems and barriers to living a life of purpose. Now I want you to have this newly revised, expanded copy of Purpose Driven Life. I think you'll find it's a fresh reminder of things that you may have forgotten when you first read it. Or you might want to give the book to somebody who has never read it and is struggling to find their purpose. So this month, I'm offering to you a hardback copy of the updated, expanded edition of Purpose Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. It doesn't matter how much or how little you're able to give, every amount matters to God. And God sees your heart and he'll multiply whatever you're able to give. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world. And join me next time
as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.